Today, get your Bibles out and go with me. We're going to go to two sections of scriptures today. That's all. Just two sections of scripture. We're going to be taking a look at the birth of Jesus. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. If you want to find Luke chapter 1, stick your finger in Luke chapter 1 or maybe a pencil or a ribbon or something like that. And then find Matthew chapter 1. We'll start out in Matthew chapter 1 and we'll be kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit today. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to read you a poem that was written by someone you know. Name's Tony Cook. Remember Tony Cook? Just a great man of God, a great teacher of the Word of God. Him and another great man of God by the name of David Beebe wrote this. And it's called "Twas the Fight Before Christmas." Okay? "Twas the fight before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful, not even my spouse. The bills were strung out on our table with dread in hopes that our checkbook would not be in the red. The children were fussing and throwing a fit when Billy came screaming and cried, 'I've been bit!' Mama with her skillet and I with the remote, she said, 'You change one more channel and I'll grab your throat.' When on the TV there arose such a clatter, I sat up on the couch to see what was the matter. When what to my wondering eyes should appear, the cable was out, it was my worst fear. The Cowboys, the Celtics, the Raiders, the Knicks, without the sports channel, I'd soon need a fix. Then in the midst of my grievous sorrow, I remembered the times I had promised tomorrow. Not now, my children, but at some soon time, Dad will play with you and things will be fine. Now under conviction, I looked at my wife. Where was my kindness? Why all the strife? My heart quickly softened. I now saw my task. Some love and attention was all they had asked. I gathered my family and called them by name. I told them with God's help, I'd not be the same. We'll keep Christ in Christmas and honor his plan. No more fights before Christmas. On that we'll stand. My children's eyes twinkled. They squealed with delight. My wife gladly nodded. She knew I was right. It was the fight before Christmas, but God's love had come through. And just like he does, he made all things new." Isn't that good? With those thoughts in mind, today I want to talk to you about being led this Christmas. Being led this Christmas. It's amazing to me how many references there are in the Christmas accounts of the leading of God. You look at it, it's actually so in your face, so prevalent in the scriptures that you almost kind of go, wow, how did I miss this? But God is leading people all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Word of God, and today God wants to lead us in our lives individually. In fact, if you take a look at it, there's dreams. Joseph himself, the father in the family of Jesus there, really the earthly father took that position, and we know that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, but Joseph being the father in the family there, he had four dreams that the angels appeared to him, and he had the leading of God in dreams. Also, we see angelic visits, right? You have Zacharias there in the temple during the hour of prayer, burning incense before the altar, and what happens? Here comes the angel speaking to him. Here's Mary speaking to the angel Gabriel. Here's Joseph in dreams seeing angelic visits. There's prophecies that take place. My goodness, so many prophecies. Multiple times, people, the Spirit comes upon them and something happens and they're led to prophesy, led to speak the Word of God. Supernatural circumstances and occurrences. Think about how amazing it is that God moved a king, Caesar Augustus, to move a nation, the whole nation of Israel, to go and be a part of the census. And then that moved Joseph and Mary from where they were down to the city of David, down to Bethlehem, in order to have the Messiah born at that time in that place. God had to move the entire world in order to do what God said he would do through the scriptures, through the prophetic utterance that had been spoken before. My goodness. Signs and wonders in the heavens. Star appears, moves around in the night, leading people. Miracles taking place. The miraculous happened. We find that a virgin gives birth to a baby, and that's a sign to shepherds and a wonder amongst them, all surrounding the birth of Jesus. Now, we often write this off because this is Jesus being born. Of course there's going to be, you know, angels and dreams and supernatural stuff going on. I mean, this is Jesus coming into the earth. But do you think that God contained all of this in Scripture just so that we could learn what happened at his birth? Or do you think God is speaking something to us? Because all of these people that were there in the nativity story surrounding the birth of Jesus, they were all people like you and like me. And if they can be led by the Spirit of God to do what they did at that time, in that place, God is speaking to us that he wants to lead us today, lead us this Christmas season, and lead us every day of our life. Are you listening today? So today I want to talk to you about how to be led. See, it's one thing to see how they were led and see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that took place. Quite another thing when we take a look at our lives and say, are we following the lead of God? How do I be led of the Spirit of God? How do I be led this Christmas season to make sure that I don't miss out on what God has for me? How to be led. First thing for today, how to be led is keep your heart right before God. Keep your heart right before God. See, because if your heart's not right, you are no longer in position to receive the leading of God. It's from a position of right standing before God, where your heart is right before God, you're believing God, that now you are in position to receive the lead of the Lord. But if your heart's not right, God's going to take care of your heart first before he leads you. If you are in sin, Bible says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard my prayer. See, we've got to make sure to deal with the issues in our life, because God looks at our issues. God looks, and if we're out of sync with God, God will make sure that we get in sync so that we can have the leading of the Lord. God's going to deal with those issues, going to deal with that sin, going to deal with that heart issue first, because God cares about our lives, and it's all about the heart. Otherwise, we would stay out of sync with God and think that we were okay and walk through life following the leading of the Lord, but thinking that stuff in our life is okay. But God says, I want you to have a right heart before me. I want you to have a heart that is a believing heart, not a wicked heart of unbelief, not a heart that's out of sync, not a rebellious heart. I need your heart to be in the right place. So we look at the people that were used of God and led by God throughout this. I want you to take a look at the character of these people. Look at the heart of these people. Look at how they responded to the things of God. Matthew chapter 1. You're there in Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to take a look at verse number 18. At verse number 19, let's take a look at this man, Joseph. Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18, reading through verse number 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now stop right there. Okay, let me explain some things to you. Mary and Joseph were betrothed. Okay, there was three stages in a marriage in Israel at this time and in their culture. Okay, first stage was that the families would come together and they would arrange the marriage. They would talk about terms. They would make sure that the people were the son and the daughter were going to come together, and they would agree on that. They would agree on the dowry and the times and all that kind of stuff. And then that was the first stage. Okay, then they were betrothed, which means that now there was like an engagement period that was taking place. It was a year long period of time that they were now betrothed. We would call it like the engagement period, but really, In the eyes of society and legally, these two were considered at that point married, okay? It was as if they were husband and wife already. The final stage was the final ceremony, or the covenant ceremony that they would have, the wedding that would take place where they would consummate the marriage. So it says that they were betrothed and before they had come together. So this was before the covenant ceremony, before they consummated the marriage, Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The problem with that is that Joseph had not yet had the angelic visit that told him that this child was of the Holy Spirit. So for Mary to be found with child, Joseph would have seen her with child and said, that's not mine. Something's wrong here. Now, by legal right, Joseph could have grabbed her by her hair, drug her out into the middle of the city, called all of the elders of the city, and the whole place could have came out together. He could have spit in her face and handed her a certificate of divorce and said, you know what, you're with child, that's not my child, you're unrighteous, and I divorce you before this whole city right now. And he could have shamed her and could have put a reproach and a scorn on her. In fact, could have had her stoned for committing adultery. She could have lost her life. But look at the character of this man, Joseph. Look at the very next verse, verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, notice the words her husband. See, it was as if they were already married. Joseph, her husband, even though they haven't come together in the covenant, even though they hadn't consummated the marriage, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. What does that mean? His heart was in the right place before God. Being a just man. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is the one that inspired this writing? So when God says somebody's just, they're not just, they are just before God. God looks at them and looks at their life, and this is not an exaggeration. This is not just a generality. This is not a term that was just thrown around. No, God looked at Joseph's life and said, Joseph is just. Why did he say that? Look at the rest of the verse. Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now the story goes on. While Joseph was thinking about these things, he fell asleep, he had a dream, and an angel visited him and said, "Hey, listen, don't be afraid to take to her your wife, for what is conceived in her is born of the Holy Spirit, and you shall call his name Jesus." See, but Joseph had his heart in the right place. He was just before God, and because of that position he had with God, he was able to be led. Are you listening today? See, if we keep our hearts right before God, if we keep away from things like bitterness, you know, you could really be bitter towards family members or friends that have hurt you in the past. You could really be bitter towards others and say, you know what, they've hurt me, they've wronged me, and I don't like them, I don't want to be with them, I'm going to avoid them at the Christmas family dinner, you know, I'm going to sit on the opposite end of the table, that sort of thing. And you could miss out on the leading of the Lord. Why? Because your heart's not right. You're operating in bitterness and unforgiveness. And God says, I'm not going to work with that, I'm not going to lead you to do something if your heart's not in the right spot. And so we got to get our hearts right before God so that we can follow the leading of the Lord. How about some other people in the Christmas story? Well, you got your finger there in Matthew chapter 1. Stick your finger, your pencil, ribbon, whatever, there in Matthew chapter number 1. And turn me to Luke, the first chapter this time. Luke, the first chapter, talking about some more people that's hearts were right with God. Therefore, they were able to be led of the Spirit of God. Luke chapter number 1, we find a couple by the name of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist, you know, the voice crying in the wilderness, the one who came in the spirit of Elijah, the one who baptized Jesus, that's his parents, his mommy and his daddy, all right? Now, they were old, they were well along in years, they hadn't had a child yet, but they were getting ready to be led by the Lord to bring John the Baptist, who would inaugurate and bring in the Christ, okay? He was the one that would pave the way for Jesus to come, making straight the path of the Lord. And therefore, they had a leading that God was going to lead them on, but look at their hearts, look at their hearts. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, verse number 6. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 6, it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." In other words, not only could God see their hearts and their lives, and they were righteous before God in the right standing, their hearts were right before God, not only that, but also when other people looked at them, blameless. No one could say anything about them. There was no question about their lives. Well, you know, they do have that thing, you know, and I see them going over here every now and then, or they're hanging out with that dude over there, and I don't like that dude. I know he's bad, so they're hanging out with him. No, they were blameless. See, not only did they have a reputation with God, they had a reputation with others. What about Mary? Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who was privileged enough to carry the Christ inside of her and to deliver him into the world. Well, what sort of heart did Mary have? Luke chapter number 1, now verse number 45. Luke chapter 1, verse number 45, Mary's gone to see her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth is pregnant now. Mary's going to be with a faith-filled friend, you know, and therefore she goes to visit her cousin. When she comes in, she greets Elizabeth. And when she greets Elizabeth, John the Baptist is still inside of Elizabeth's tummy. But from the time he was inside of her womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He leaps for joy on the inside of his mama. Boom, you know. And so there he is, and he leaps for joy. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth, out of the overflow, the Spirit comes on her, and she starts to prophesy. She starts to speak forth the word of God. And look at what she says about Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse number 45. "Blessed is she," speaking of Mary, "who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Look at the heart that Mary had. "Blessed is she who believed." She didn't have an evil heart of unbelief. Her heart was in the right place. Her heart was right before God. She was in faith. See, she may have asked the question, I don't know how this is going to happen since I've not known a man. See, in her thinking, in the natural, you can only have a baby when a man and a woman come together. Then the baby, see, but without that, she's saying, I don't understand, because no man, then there's only the woman here, and there's no, you know, so how's the baby going to come? And the angel had to tell her, well, no, not going to be like that. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive and bear a child. And therefore, she says what? "Be it unto me as you have spoken." See, what did she do right then? She entered into faith, her heart believed. She now received the promise of God, and therefore she conceived and bore the Son. See, blessed is she who believed. How about one more? The guy we talked a lot about last year during the Christmas season, his name's Simeon. You remember Simeon, right? "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon was an older man. Simeon was a great man of God. Simeon was able to prophesy over the Christ child and over Mary's life. And Simeon was just an awesome guy. Let's take a look at Simeon there in Luke chapter 2 this time. Luke chapter number 2. See, Simeon was led by the Spirit, and at the right time, in the right moment, he bumped into Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was able to scoop the child up in his arms and see the salvation of God before he died. Why was he able to be led? It was because his heart was in the right place. Luke chapter 2, verse number 25 says this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." See, when your heart is right before God, you now put yourself in position to be led of the Lord. But if your heart's not right, God's going to deal with the heart first. You got issues, God's going to get his finger on the issues and say, deal with this. Deal with this. I want to be used. I want to be led, God. I want to do great things for you, God. Okay, let's deal with this issue. See, God's going to deal with the heart first. If you're in sin, time to get rid of the sin. Time to get rid of the stuff. If you're going in this direction in sin, it's time to repent, change your heart and your mind, and turn and go back God's way. And go away from the sin. Why? Because now your heart is in the right spot and you can be led by the Spirit of God. Are you listening today? Number one, how to be led. Keep your heart right before God. Second one, this is a good one. Second one is listen and look. Listen and look. You're not listening, you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. You're not looking, you're not going to see what it is God is doing, not going to see the lead of the Lord. Most of the people we read about in the accounts of Christ's birth were thinking, looking, doing. They were out there. They were actively involved in pursuit. Think about Joseph, right? What was Joseph doing? He was thinking about what he was going to do. He was a just man. His heart was in the right spot, thinking about what he's going to do now that Mary's with child. And what happens? He gets the leading of the Lord. Why? Because he was thinking about it. He was active. He was involved. Okay, Simeon, we just talked about him, right? What was he doing? The Bible said that he was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the consolation. See, but if he wasn't looking, what would happen? There'd be no Simeon in the Bible, would there? There'd be no prophecy. There'd be no record of what he did. Why? Because he wouldn't have been looking and he wouldn't have found. See, the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. But if you don't ask, not going to happen. You don't seek, you don't what? Find. You don't knock, no doors are open. See, you've got to be looking and listening. There's a great lady in the Bible. Love this. She's an older lady. Her name's Anna, okay? Anna is at least like 84 years old. Okay, because the Bible says she was a virgin 84 years from her virginity. So that either means that she was 84 or 103 years old. Okay, in any event, she's old. Okay, and so Anna is like the church lady. You know the church lady I'm talking about. She's the one that's always hanging out. Every time the doors are open, she's there in church. Okay, and not only that, the way that Anna's described in the Bible, she's not only there, she's the one that's going out and come over here, dearie, right? And she's grabbing your hand, and she just wants to hold your hand while she's talking to you, and she grabs the cheek, you know, and she pats the face, that's what, she gives you a little kiss on the cheek when she hugs you, you know, that sort of a thing. And you know, anybody else, you'd be like, that's weird, don't hold my hand, I don't want you kissing me, I don't want you touching me. But because she's that old, oh, you know, it's kind of like grandma, you know, so go ahead, you know, come on, hold my hand here. And you feel good about it after you leave, right? That's Anna, okay? Anna's there in the temple, and the Bible says that she is honoring God with prayers and fasting continually. Now, we would have looked at her and said, grandma, eat, you know, come on. What are you doing, right? You don't need to be here in the temple. Go home and rest, okay? But she's seeking. She's active. She's doing something. She's going after it. She's listening and she's looking. And she comes up right at the moment that Simeon finishes prophesying. And it records Luke chapter 2. Take a look at it with me. Luke chapter 2, verse number 38. Simeon's just done talking. Now all of a sudden it introduces us to Anna. She comes. Look at verse 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 38 says, "And coming in that instant." See, she was led of the Lord right at the right time, right in the right place. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who... I'm sorry. I just had a little pause there because, you know, I wanted to make sure you guys were paying attention. Hold on, let me read it again. Here we go. "And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." That means if they weren't looking, She didn't talk to them. That means if they weren't looking, they missed out on a blessing. That means if they overlooked the old church lady, ah, she's crazy, she's here all the time. What's she doing? She just needs to go home. She needs to go lay down. She needs to go. See, if they weren't looking, they weren't finding. But what was she doing? She was speaking, she was giving thanks, she was praising God to all those who looked for redemption. Are you looking for the leading of the Lord? Are you listening for his voice? Are you attentive to his call? See, your heart may be right, but you may not be looking. We got to look. We got to actively seek. I love the wise men. Don't you love the wise men? Turn back with me to Matthew, the second chapter now. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, talking about the wise men. Now, we don't know the wise men's name. We don't know how many of them there were. It's assumed there were three because of the three gifts, gold, myrrh, frankincense, right? And so, therefore, we assume there was three, but it could have been more, could have been less, right? And we don't know where they're from. Could have been from the east, you know, directly east of Israel. Could have been from, you know, a little bit further into Russia. Could have been all the way into China. You know, these guys could have come from a long distance away. Now, how did they know to go to Jerusalem? Let's take a look at it in Matthew, the second chapter, starting in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1 starts out, says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Note that it says they were wise, okay? Because if you and I want to be wise, we need to take a look at what they were doing, because if we do the things that they did, then we're in the company of the wise, and he who hangs out with the wise shall be wise himself. So wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Verse number 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have done what? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. What does that mean? They were looking and they saw something and they came into Jerusalem. Now the whole of Jerusalem was troubled at this saying, and the king and everybody started inquiring and started searching the scriptures. What does that tell us? That means that the king, that means that the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers and the scribes and all of the religious people in Israel were not looking. They totally missed it. Why? Because they had blinders on of religion. I'm okay with God if I just do this. I'm going to make the sacrifice. Here's the morning sacrifice. Here's the daily sacrifice. Here's the evening sacrifice. Here's, I'm going to say my verses. Now I'm going to recite my prayers. I'm going to go and do my thing. And it was all a religious experience, and it wasn't about the heart. They were not looking. They could not look up from their religion to see what God was doing in the heavens. And therefore, they missed the leading of God. Now, the king says, go and worship him because I want to worship him myself. Come back and bring a report to me. Really, Herod was a murderous, wicked king. He actually wanted to kill Jesus so that he could secure his throne. But look at what happens. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9 says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young Christ was. The star was actually leading them. They had to keep their eyes on the leading. They had to follow the leading. They had to see what God was doing. They had to stay attentive and stay and focus on what God was doing, because now the leading was going before them and standing over the place. See, miracles, signs, and wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost, things are taking place. And now, what? Their heart's in the right spot. They want to worship the king, and they're attentive, they're watching, and therefore they were led to the place where Christ was. Verse number 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They were watching. They were looking. This Christmas, as you go to the family dinner, you sit down with people you haven't been with for a year, doesn't matter what happened in the past. Matters what God is doing right now. And even though they may have hurt you in the past or been rude or mean or ugly, let's forgive that and let's move on, because they need Jesus just as much as you did before you had Christ. And therefore, it's time to look and see, God, what do you want me to do? God, who do you want me to bless? God, what can I say, Lord? What can I not say, God? You know? And God may whisper into your heart, I want you to just go and talk to your uncle. My uncle, I hate that guy. He's just rude and he's weird and he smells funny and I don't even know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? No. Look for the leading. God, what do you want me to do? God may say, just go sit by your grandma. God may say, just go give a hug to your sister. See, it may be that that hug just breaks the ice, melts the stony heart, and now all of a sudden opens the door for the gospel to be preached. You don't know, but if you're looking and if you're following, God will lead you. God's looking to do something. God's looking to move on the earth, which brings us to number three. Last one for today is follow the lead. Got to have a heart in the right spot. Got to be looking, got to be listening, got to be attentive. But finally, you got to follow the lead. Oftentimes I see that God will do one of two things. He'll either give you the end destination, and you don't know what's going to happen in between here and there, or he won't give you the end destination, he'll just give you one little step. Now, we like it when he gives us the end destination. Why? Because we've got hope, we've got faith, we've got a future, we see what's going on. But what we don't realize is that there may be a Joseph journey that's ahead of us that leads to the pit and then leads to, you know, being a prisoner and a slave that goes to the prison and the dungeon, the deepest, darkest place, and rejection. And then finally it reaches the palace and then the vision will come to pass that we saw originally where the family's bowing down, the sun, the moon, the stars, all that kind of stuff, and you're great. See, we like that, but we don't realize what's ahead of us. But most of the time I find in our life that God will not really give you the end destination. God gives you just one step. The Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? And most of the time with God, God will illuminate what is the next step of life. God doesn't say, hey, I'm taking you here. Why? Because we would run over there. Oh, praise God, you know, and we'd miss out on all the stuff that God is leading us to. So God says, I'm not going to give you all the way down there. I'm going to give you this. See this? Step here. Okay. I'm here, God. And God says, okay, well, now step here. All right. Got it. Okay, what else, God? Well, right here. And then here. And then here. And then here. And then eventually we get down here and we say, God, this is what you had for me? Wow. Look at what you did. Look at all the stuff along the road. Look at it. See, it's like Philip, right? Philip, all he had was, I want you to go down the road and I want you to go over there. And so he goes over there and then he sees a chariot driving by. And this angel tells him, I want you to go up and overtake that chariot. So he goes up to buy the chariot. And he hears him reading out of Isaiah. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no, I don't understand what I'm reading. How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? So he jumps in the chariot, starts to explain, preaches Jesus to him. He says, Jesus. He says, hey, there's some water over here. Let's baptize you, brother. So he gets him in the water, bam, baptizes him, right? And all of a sudden, zap, he's right out of the place, translated out of there, and shows up somewhere else. See, what did he have? He had one step. He had a little lead. And as he followed that lead, God gave him the next step, and God gave him the next step, and God gave him the next step. See, if you follow the lead, God will give you more leading. The next step, and the next step, and the next step. But if you don't follow the lead, going to end up like Zacharias, right? There he is in the presence of the angel. Mary had asked, how's this going to be? Because it had never been done before. Zacharias, who knew the scriptures, would have known that Abraham and Sarah had a child in their old age. So he asked the angel, how do I know what you're going to say is going to come true? And the angel says, I stand in the presence of God. I'm sorry, excuse me. Therefore, you're going to be quiet. You're not going to say another word because what's coming out of your mouth is foolish. And we don't need evil hearts of unbelief right now. So you're going to be silent until the appropriate time. And so all of a sudden he can't speak, right? See, there's sometimes where people come to me and they say, Pastor, I haven't heard the voice of God in a long time. I don't know what happened. I used to hear God's voice every day. It used to be just like water flowing in my life. And just, you know, every day was a leading of the Lord and God was doing great things. It seemed like all of a sudden it shut up and God's distant. I don't understand, Pastor, what's going on. Many times when I hear that statement, I'll say, well, what's the last thing God told you? What's the last thing you remember God telling you to do? And think about it for a while. God told me to do something. Okay, did you do it? No, I didn't do it. Well, go back and do what God told you to do and then come back and tell me what happened. Right? A week later, they come back and they are rejoicing. They're jumping out of their skin. Pastor, the water has turned back on. It's flowing. God's speaking to me. I did what God said for me to do. And all of a sudden, bang, I heard the voice of the Lord. And now God's talking to me. And it's like it used to be. Why? Because they followed the lead. God is not going to lead people that are disobedient and rebellious. God leads people that will follow his lead. Are you listening today? The moment Zacharias wrote on the tablet, his name is John. What happened? His mouth was open and his tongue was loosed. And he's able to speak and prophesy and glorify God. Matthew chapter number 1. Let's go back and look at this guy Joseph again. Last couple of verses, Matthew chapter 1. Verse 24 and 25. Remember, Joseph was thinking about what he's going to do. He has the dream. Angel tells him, don't be afraid to take to her your wife, okay? And you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, so he had clear instructions, clear direction from the Lord of what to do. Look at what happens with Joseph, talking about following the lead. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Did you see it? Did you catch it? Let me read it to you again, because I'm going to shout the word that's really what I'm emphasizing, okay? Just so that we all know what we're talking about. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Did you see it? Did you get it? Okay, now let's look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now Joseph, as the man, as the head of the house, as the father in the house, the husband, had the responsibility for that home. And he also had the responsibility to name the son, just like Zacharias named John, right? They wanted to name John Zacharias. They said, because you don't have a relative named John. You can't name him John. You can name him Zacharias after you, right? So they go and they motion to him. He said, bring me something to write, you know, give me something to write with. You know, he's doing this number, so they bring it to him. He writes, his name is John. Right? He had the responsibility as the father to name the son. Therefore, here's Joseph. He's been given instructions by the angel. What if he would have named Jesus Joseph? See, he would have been opposed and rebellious. But he did as the angel commanded, and he called his name Jesus. See, he followed the lead of the Lord. And you know what happens? Then later on, he's warned in a dream. Herod's going to kill the innocents. So he flees to Egypt. Then he's spoken to once again. It's time to come back out. That fulfills the scriptures that I called my son out of Egypt. So he comes up and being warned in a dream, he's led again. Don't go back to Judea. Go up to Nazareth. So he goes up to Nazareth, right? And several times we see that Joseph is led. Why? Because he continued to follow the lead of God. There's a tombstone in England of a cavalier soldier with the epitaph written on it. He served King Charles with a constant, dangerous, and expensive loyalty. He served King Charles with a constant, dangerous, and expensive loyalty. I would imagine if we could go and talk to that soldier before he died, and we said to him, you know what, your service to the king was constant, dangerous, and expensive. He would have said, no, it wasn't any of those things. It was just my duty. All I was doing was following the orders of the king. And it was my reasonable service. It was no sacrifice. It was just what was expected of me. Church, may it be said of us by those from outside that our service to our King Jesus in following him is constant, it's dangerous, and it's expensive. It will cost us our life as we take up our cross and follow him, looking for the leading of the Lord. Come on today, can you give the Lord a great big praise? Hallelujah. God good? God is so good to us.